Hello, it's Wayne Perry, the TV carpenter here. Can I ask you a question? Are you a DIY doer? Meaning, do you like DIY? Do you like fixing things in your home? Or does it frighten you and you'd rather somebody else did it, like your other half, or you paid somebody to come and do it? The reason I'm asking the question is, it's either one or the other. People don't realise anyone can be a DIY doer. And for me, when I say that, I don't mean the big jobs. I don't mean putting up shelves. I don't mean laying laminate flooring. For me, DIY is about having a safe house for you and your family. So when I say safe, knowing how the smoke alarm works and why does it beep, or knowing how to turn your water off if your house is flooding, or if the fuse trips and your electrics go out, knowing what all the buttons on the fuse board do. So that's a safe home. I think everyone should have that. Everyone should have a practical home, meaning everything should work as it should. So if your curtain tracks falls out the wall, you know how to put it on. Or if your toilet seat breaks, you know how to change it. But also, I think everyone should have a beautiful home, knowing what paint types to use, knowing how to upcycle some furniture. If you would like a safe, practical and beautiful home, let me teach you the DIY around it. All you need to do is join the DIY Doers Facebook group. You can find it on Facebook, or you can go to my website, thetvcarpenter.com, and I'll link you straight through to there. Let me help you create a safe, beautiful, and practical home for you and your family. On today's show, I chat with Amy Wilson. She's a super talented contestant from this year's Interior Design Masters.
I was floored. I think prior to the show, everybody preps themselves for the idea of going on week one, and they think that's the worst thing in the world. But believe you me, week two is just as bad. Particularly when you're not, everyone expects to go in week one. Everyone prepares and expects for that emotion and tied up with it. So then there's a big sigh of relief when week one passed. And then I think because I've gone in with this big high hope, it floored me. And if I'm dead honest, I had 10 days of feeling just unbelievably low. And I'm very fortunate, I don't suffer from low. That's not an emotion I have very often. So it really took the wind out of my sails. And I found myself, you know, like in the shower crying and things like that.
Hello and welcome to the TV Carpenter podcast with me, your host, Wayne Perry. This is a podcast where I interview my friends from the world of interior design and garden makeover shows, all with the aim of inspiring you to create your dream home. This week, the Facebook groups have gone crazy. If you don't know, I've got two Facebook groups. One is Interior Designer Support Group and the other is the DIY Doers Club. Both on Facebook, both have lots of action in there. And what was really lovely this week, I launched a new segment that I've been wanting to add to the Interior Designer Support Group, which really is the main aim of the group, is to support interior designers so that they can, you know, learn some basic carpentry knowledge so that when they're designing for their clients, they know what they're talking about. For example, I've been showing in a short video how to, you know, what depth wardrobe should be, or what height your top rail of your clothes rail should be in your wardrobe. And that way, when you come to design it and putting shelves in there or putting drawers in there, you know what you're talking about. So if you haven't seen it, if you're an interior designer and you want that support, just join the Interior Designer Support Group. But on the DIY Doers Facebook group, that also has gone particularly crazy because we have a lot of new guests that have come through from watching the Alan Titchmarsh show, Spring into Summer, that I've been doing. And I built this arbor, if you haven't seen it. And then I did a fact sheet where people could learn, or, you know, give you all the materials you need and some of the designs from it so that you can go away and build your own. And with that, a lot of people have come through into the Facebook group. And you know what's really interesting? We created the fact sheet for that show. And in my mind, I thought, do you know what? About 70 people might download the Arbor fact sheet from Spring into Summer. And I think we've got 3,500 people downloaded it, which makes my heart sing because it means that 3,500 people are interested in doing some DIY, in creating something for their garden. What was also really lovely is I also spoke to Thorndown. Now, Thorndown, as you know, the sponsor of the podcast, but I used one of their paints, Cave Pool Grey, on the arbor, and I put links on the show, and we mentioned that it was an eco paint, and the response to their paint has been phenomenal. Caroline and Ben, who are the owners of Thorndown, who are now really good friends of mine, messaged me just to say their social medias went crazy, their website traffic went crazy, and I think 30-40 people downloaded and not downloaded, bought the Cave Pool Grey paint. So if you haven't seen it, check out on my Instagram. You can see the video of the arbor build and the colour of the paint. But also, if you want to know a little bit more about Thorndown, don't forget you can go to thorndown.co.uk and type in the code TVCarpenter and you get 15% off any online purchases from them. But also, we have the Peel to Reveal. They do this pretty impressive glass paint that you can paint on your conservatory or your greenhouse for shading or just to add some interest. And then if you're bored with it, you pull a corner and the whole thing peels off like a face peel. And we've been doing a competition that goes on all our social media. And we had last week, it was Dulcet Stone that people guessed the correct name of the colour. And Mark Lawson and Crystal Gill will both receive a tin of that Dulcet Stone peelable paint. If you want a chance to win some peelable paint, check out my social media on the Saturday. So look on the Facebook groups and look on the Instagram and you can see another Peel to Reveal. And all you have to do is put the name of the colour that you think it is in the comments and you will win that colour. There's two tins per week up for grabs. So yes, don't forget to check out Thorndown, my sponsor of this podcast. I just want to say a huge thank you to everybody who's been messaging me about the podcast. Recently, I've received so many lovely comments about how much people are enjoying the podcast. And I think it's that behind the scenes element of the Interior Design Masters. And we're on episode 3 of the 10 contestants. And this week is the lovely Amy Wilson. Now, Amy went out on week 2. It was shocking that she went out. She was pipped to be one of the favourites and it didn't go her way in the offices week. But she came back to assist Lindsay in the final and I got to work with her then. She is absolutely brilliant and we're going to collaborate on a few things coming up in the future. And just when I was putting this together and, you know, re-listening to her interview that I did, I think it was over Christmas. I'd got the interview after we'd filmed, but before it had gone out. And I reminded myself just going through it all before, putting it in, editing it and putting it in the podcast. And it's such a lovely interview. We had such a laugh and she's such a gem and such a talent. And I know that she listens to this while she's normally doing her run while walking the dogs. So Amy, hope you enjoy listening to yourself, but I hope you enjoy it more. So this is the main event. This is Amy Wilson from Interior Design Masters. Amy, thank you for coming on the TV Carpenter podcast.
Thank you for having me, Wayne, the TV Carpenter. I'm super excited.
Oh, well, my first question to you is, so after watching me in the final with you making some headboards, how has your own little headboard creation for your holiday home gone?
Well, let me tell you, I have now done 2 headboards. I'm super thrilled with them. I'm getting better at corners. And then only yesterday, just as we had news of another positive COVID result in the family, I got my staple gun out again and I've started on a footstool. So it's become my therapy.
It's good, isn't it? You create something instantly, which has such a great effect.
Yeah, so much impact. And that was just one of like oodles of things I learned on the show, so I'm really grateful to Lindsay for showing me that.
So we only got to work with each other on the final because you came back and helped Lindsay on the final. And it was so lovely because it's like, and I know you're not originally from up north, from Yorkshire lass, but it was like us having a slice of home because I'm originally from Leeds. So I was like, I felt proper Yorkshire chatting with you. And it was such a shame you went out so early. But we're going to talk all about that in a bit because I was devastated, but I'm sure you were more devastated going out so early. Yeah. But I want to know, like, what made you apply for the show?
Well, it was a funny thing, really, because I kind of got asked to share the details of the show on my Instagram, because I had a reasonably decent following on Insta, and a couple of the producers followed me, I think just on a personal level. So they sort of said, oh, would you just share that the closing date's looming? And I was like, yeah, sure, and I did. And then they asked me again. And the final time they asked me, I think we'd just started to get rumbles of a lockdown. And we were all starting to think, and I work as a marketing consultant, is my kind of main bread and butter, really, and has been for years and years. But I was starting to see that things were not getting, money wasn't being spent on marketing the same way it had been. So I was starting to think, oh, what am I going to do with myself? And so as I'm posting it on my own Instagram saying, oh, why didn't anyone sign up for this? I was like, well, why don't I sign up for this? And, you know, the thing that's put me off, I think, and even in the previous series when I saw it being advertised, is I've never considered myself an interior designer. I've never considered what I do to have a fancy name or title like interior design. Mine is just about the joy of making home and just making spaces feel lovely. And so I guess I just didn't put myself in that bracket. But with lockdown looming, I just thought, oh, why don't I do it just to, I don't know, kill a bit of time, fill out an application form.
And the thing is, like, you talk about your home. Your home is beautiful. If anyone's looked on your Instagram, it used to be this style rocks and has now moved to Amy Wilson Interiors. Is that right?
That's correct. Yes. I'm formerly this style rocks.
Yeah. But literally that was a good title for your home, for your house, because it is beautiful. Like everything in there you've designed, and you've got like kids' sunken beds in the loft room. It's absolutely beautiful. But you say your background is marketing. So have you always done marketing, or what's, I mean, I love life journeys and how we all end up where we end up. So I want to know a little bit before doing all the interior design stuff.
Okay. I think I'm a similar age to you, Wayne. And I've had
what 29?
Yeah. Something like that. Plus a few. So I've had what some people refer to, I think it's a Northern expression when you say you've had a long paper round.
Yeah.
That's what they said. So I left home at 18 and came to Leeds, and I'd only just turned 18. So even though I'm not officially from Leeds, I consider myself a Yorkshire girl, really. I've been here longer than I was at home. And home was quite nomadic because we moved an awful lot when I was younger. So I guess Leeds feels like the most like home. If only I could have my mum here and my sisters. But I feel rooted here, you know, of all the places I've been. So I came here to uni. I did a geography degree, would you believe? Love geography, still do. Thankfully, both my daughters like geography, so they're following in my footsteps. But had no real idea of what it was I was going to do. I had desires of working in TV. If I'm honest, I always wanted to be a bit like yourself. I was a singer at school. I wanted to be on the stage. I played the double bass. I was into music. I was going to go to the Northern College of Music, but a boyfriend got in the way. So I wound up doing geography far away from what I thought I'd do. But then I did a placement through university at Yorkshire Telly, as it was in the day, and absolutely loved it. And that 6-week placement secured me an interview when I graduated. So I went into work in Yorkshire Television. I worked in kind of a sales and marketing role. I was helping them kind of sell their facilities to external production companies, basically, and help them market that, and did lots of events and stuff, and just loved it. And it kind of gave me the confidence to go and work with other production companies. And in that time, I worked helping new artists. I helped new writers. I helped new actors. I mean, really, really varied, but kind of stumbled upon a real love of helping grow other people's businesses and brands through a bit of freelance marketing stuff that I just fell into. And then since the age of sort of 26, 27, that's been my life, really. And so interiors, as they call it, interior design, is not really what I thought I was. I just from being, I reckon, about four, my strongest memories of being young are of the places I lived in and what they looked like. So when we were four, my mum and dad sadly split up. And at the time, we were living in a beautiful four-bedroom detached house on a cul-de-sac, very new. Everything was very sparkly. They'd done really well. They were only young. My dad was a journalist. My mum was a teacher. And, they'd done really, really well. And when they split up, we went to live in one of the roughest estates in Leicester. My mum was only 27. Me and Lucy were like four and two. And it must have been horrific for her. We had everything nicked, our go-kart. If we left anything outside for more than 30 seconds, it was nicked. We only had an outside loo. I mean, I'm old, but I'm not that old. Can you imagine? We'd gone from like four bedroom, two bathroom, lovely kind of quite luxurious really. And then literally mum had to start again. And so we went to having an outside bath toilet only. And so we had a commode in the bedroom. But my memory of it is not sadness, not feeling sorry, just mum put like a picture of Minnie Mouse on the back of the outside toilet door and she painted it all in bright colours. And she put what I now know to be was a plastic sheet on our bed because of the damp in the room. But she actually made it look all pretty and put like, you know, colours on the bottom of it and put embroidery on it. And my memory of it is all the beautiful things she did to the home and not the sadness of living in a really poor part of Leicester and you know, having our bike nicked. So then when I reflect on it now, we then moved every year because mum was basically trying to get back to where she'd been. She met my stepdad. And with every home, my memory of it is always what she did with it to make it feel safe and happy. And I think all I've ever tried to do ever since is exactly the same. So our four walls are big and beautiful, but it's what's in them, you know, that's made it our home. And that's the bit I enjoy, if I'm honest. And if that's interior design, then yeah.
Well, it comes from an emotional place, doesn't it? And I think a lot of people, if they follow trends and make things just look pretty, that's fine. But the main connection is when you walk into a space. And it's interesting, I interviewed Michaela on the podcast and I asked her, you know, what her dream space was going to be. And she was like, I'd love to go back to her grandma's house, where she lived in all her life. She says, it's not pretty, it's a clash of everything, but it makes me feel the happiest.
Yeah.
So it's almost like a memory journey. And I think, and I'm the same, I was brought up on a council estate. We had nothing. My parents were 16 and 17 when they had me. But I would love to just go back to that brown sofa and that furniture and, you know, sit around the glass coffee table and do a jigsaw puzzle again. You know, and I think those are the things that are lovely about interior design if you create a home for your family.
I think that's where interior design's probably got a bad name for itself because people think it's all about curtains and cushions and wall coverings. And of course that there is that. And I celebrate all that. But at the same time, for me, it's about feeling. It's about how it makes you feel. And I want my kids, we won't move from here. And we won't move because I want them to be rooted. I want them to have roots. I never felt rooted, you know, as a child growing up because we moved so much and it was a lot of instability. So I want them to have roots. So we won't move. We'll just keep evolving this house and creating more memories in it for them.
It's a beautiful house as well, if anyone's seen on your Instagram.
It's all right.
It's all right. I particularly love the tiled mosaic, you know, made in Yorkshire tile.
Yeah.
And that was the first thing I commented on your Instagram. I was like, I want that in my house.
Well, do you know what? We were all made in, I was even made in Yorkshire, despite not being actually physically made in Yorkshire. You know, I feel very much that this is where I became me. So, and all my family are made in Yorkshire. So yeah, seemed the right thing.
Seems the right thing. So let's talk about the show. So you went on the show and first time I met you was obviously you did the show houses, show homes. And then you got through to the office. Did you go straight through on the show homes or were you on the sofa on the first episode?
No, first episode, Michaela and I were absolutely papping ourselves. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that. We honestly believed we were going home. The pair of us, and for no other reason than the quality and the standard of the competition was so flipping high. I think we walked into that set on the first day and we looked around and we clocked each other, and you know that first impression, you go, oh my god, this is fierce, these people know what they're talking about. And then watching the show home week unravel, we just thought we were going to go on the sofa, and we thought not only on the sofa but home. So when we went straight through, we cried and were just ecstatic.
Yeah. And then it's interesting because I've spoken to a lot of you guys now, and we're recording this, you know, over coming out of the Christmas break, and the show hasn't gone out yet. So, you know, I've got you while you've still got the memory of the show, but there's none of that. Literally in 2 days' time, they're about to announce that your guys are on who's in the show almost. So I've caught you, but what's really lovely is all of you have said very similar things. That first day, like the meeting in the hub and meeting Michelle and meeting Alan Carr, but also you weren't allowed to speak to each other until on camera and say what you did. So, and there's that moment when you all had to go around the line and say who you are and what you do. And everyone has had the same reaction. Everyone has gone literally imposter syndrome.
Yeah, it made me feel so sick. And all I was thinking was, what do I do? What am I? What do I do? Like, because first and foremost, in my daily life, I'm a mum to three children, and my priority is always as a mum. Now, I've been working all of my life, but all of a sudden, I couldn't say what I was. So I was sort of stood in the hub, and I was so pleased because I think we had to go again. I think we had to take again, and I thought, brilliant. I'll try and say it better this time, because I just thought, I don't even know what I am or who I am. I'm just Amy and I'm from Leeds and I don't even know why I'm here.
But that's what I love. Everybody had the same, even the most, you know, even, you know, the winners, like, yeah. I think that's as well, if you haven't got a practice and you haven't been running or doing it full time, you know, the idea of the show is you're allowed to be a professional interior designer, but it can't be your soul yet. You know, you're growing into it. So it's kind of, you're in your own little bubble, you know, you're not really mixing with other like-minded people. So to be thrown in with nine other people who are all doing the same and are all, you know, looking around, it must have been daunting.
Very.
So then cut to episode 2, which was the offices, which saw you go. And this was a big shock. So talk me through your office scheme and you know, ultimately going home. Did you enjoy your scheme? Were you pleased with it?
Oh, do you know what, Wayne? The weirdest thing is the emotions were so different that second week. I was absolutely, I mean, what people don't realise is the kind of journey is months before that first episode even. You know, the just auditioning and the interviewing to get on it, you know, there's a whole scheme you do for that. And then you have months of to-ing and fro-ing and more information going back and forth, then leading up to the first week. So you felt like you've been in the process already for weeks and weeks and weeks, and my family were immersed in it. So by the time I got to the second week, I was just on a high. I was so giddy. I think it was the first time in a long time I had put my work first. So my work has always played second fiddle to Simon's, my husband's, and the kids. So it was the first time ever I was going, can you all just stop what you're doing a minute? It's about mummy. And that felt weird, but I was in my element. So I arrived for offices week, Central London, thinking, let's do this. I was ridiculously excited about my scheme. I had actually gone to a workshop and built the tiered seating, as I call it, not a monolith or a stadium or everything else it got referred to in the show, but I had actually practiced it all out. I'd originally drawn it as twice the size. I liaised with John and Lindsay, and they were like, we love it, we love it, we love it. It's brilliant. This is going to really anchor our scheme. Let's go for it. But then I decided to scale it down, believe it or not. And I was just thrilled and I was excited because I did a lot of technical drawings around that. I had to really push myself out of my comfort zone. So the previous week felt very much like a styling job. You know, a bit of faffing around, picking paint colours and stuff like that. And there was a scheme in my mind. But compared to week two, I was just like going for it because I thought I'm going to have to push myself in this show to have any chance of getting any further. So I went into week two ridiculously upbeat, excited, and if I'm honest, confident.
Because I remember speaking to you about this when we met in the final, and you was like, it was a winning scheme for you. You were like, so what was the, because obviously when I'm not privy to what happens on the sofa, and obviously it hasn't gone out yet. So what was the feedback on the sofa? So
the weird thing was all week while we were putting the scheme together, people were coming in and they were going, wow. And the reaction, everything was positive. I never got asked by the crew, you know, are you worried about the size or the scale? So nothing had entered my mind in that respect. So I wouldn't say we necessarily thought we had the winning office. Again, the standard was incredible, but I personally felt quite confident in my space. And then obviously we got told we're on the sofa and there was four of us. And oh my goodness, I do not even recognise the emotion that came out of me prior to getting to sit my bottom on the sofa. I actually thought at one point I'm not going to make it onto the sofa because I just was floored. I really struggle with rejection. Like it's something I've learned finally in my 40s. I realized that I have one major fear and it's that of rejection. And I just felt it like a massive truck coming towards me. It was, and at this point, obviously I didn't even know I was going. It was just the idea that I'd finally believed in myself and got myself right into a point where I thought I'm happy with what I've done. And I even rang the kids on the night before, Wayne, and said, it's all right, I've got it this week. So that was, so all that was going through my mind was the kids, because they were excited. And I couldn't breathe, I couldn't speak, I had to go to the toilet, and they kept delaying getting us on the sofa because I was doing that thing where you can't get your breath. And Michaela, bless her, was like, come on, Amy, you can do this. Come on, you know, this is just a show. You're better than this. The kids are proud of you. You know, it won't be a problem. Anyway, finally composed myself, got in there. And I think from pretty much the moment Michelle started talking, I knew I was going. And the reason was I had to defend it in order to stick to true to myself and be authentic. I couldn't agree with her. I could agree with her having an alternative opinion. That's fine. Get that. But I couldn't go, you're right, I'm wrong. And the other three sort of could concede that that was what was going on. Whereas I believed in it. I still believed in it. The brief was bold, brave, sort of design led, creative. And it was a PR media company, which I've worked in, you know, and they are full of young, bold, creative types. And I thought it answered the brief. So I didn't feel that I could sit there then and say, you're right, I'm wrong, I should have done it entirely differently, because I would have been lying. I'd spent all week on camera going, I just love it, I'm so happy with myself. So I think I knew at that point that unless I was willing to go back on everything I'd said and concede that I'd got it all wrong, I was going to go home.
Oh, and you did. And it was such a shock.
It was just, honestly, I was floored. I think prior to the show, everybody preps themselves for the idea of going on week one. And they think that's the worst thing in the world. But believe you me, week two is just as bad. I just had it. And particularly when you're not, everyone expects to go in week one. Everyone prepares and expects for that emotion tied up with it. So then there's a big sigh of relief when week one passed. And then I think because I'd gone in with this big high hope, it floored me. And if I'm dead honest, I had 10 days of feeling just unbelievably low. And I'm very fortunate. I don't suffer from low. That's not an emotion I have very often. So it really took the wind out of my sails. And I found myself, you know, like in the shower crying and things like that. And living through all the other remaining contestants, all of whom I adored and believed should stay. It wasn't that I thought I should have stayed over someone else. And I found myself refreshing my phone like a lovesick teenager going, what are they doing now? And I couldn't concentrate. I was happy to be back with the kids, but I couldn't concentrate on them. And it took me 10 days to really, I'm still sad about it, but to really shake myself and be able to sort of move forward, I guess.
Yeah, and I remember when we came back to film the next episode, I remember speaking to one of the cameramen and I was like, oh, so I was like, so Amy went last week? And he went, I know, one of the strong runners, shocked everybody. And I know that doesn't help you at the moment, I'm looking at you, but I mean, we were like, Amy, we all have an opinion, and it started that first week, we all look around and go, oh yeah, Amy's going to be here for the long haul. Yeah, she's all right. To go on week two. And again, it's all subjective. But actually, when you say it how you said it, in that for you to, potentially you could have stayed if you'd have conceded, but then that's not you. And actually, you're made in Yorkshire, and actually you stand by what you believe. And I think that'll stand you in good stead later on down the line, because it shows you haven't, you know, rolled over. You've stood by your design.
Yeah, I hope so. And I do believe design is entirely subjective. I have a very quirky individual home, and it's not everybody's taste, you know. And every design I make will have a bit of me sprinkled over it, and that won't be to everybody's taste. And on this occasion, it wasn't to Michelle's taste. And that's the nature of the beast. That's the way the show goes, you know. And I'm grown up enough to know that, you know, everybody's entitled to their opinion. And I entered it in knowing all that. It just didn't make it any easier. But you know, the massive joy was that in 2 weeks I had made enough impact that I got a call 4 weeks before the final. Well, sorry, a week before the final to say your name's been put in the hat by three of our potential finalists, and that was all I needed to hear. That made me cry even more.
Oh, bless you. Because then you got to come back. And I do remember as well, I think the week after you'd gone, I remember Instagramming you, messaging you, going, "We miss you," kind of thing. Like, yeah. But then we got to work with each other, which was so pleased. Because on the final, I got to build for you and Lindsay, and I'd never worked with Lindsay either. So it just felt like proper full circle. I was super pleased. How much fun did you have working with Lindsay on that final prep week and then week of build?
Well, I won't be the first to have told you that on week one, I picked Lindsay for the final. There was just something about that show home for me that just elevated her above everybody else. And I said, she's going to be in the final. And we kept in touch. You know, we worked together on offices week, so, and we got on brilliantly. And we had such a similar kind of aesthetic and sort of approach, actually. We're both very positive up people. We're doers. We're head down. We're workers. So we both just gelled brilliantly, as we did with John. I kept in touch with everybody. But, you know, we even met up while she was still filming and stuff. But I didn't think for 1 minute she'd ask me back, you know. And so when she did, I was humbled, thrilled, honoured, all of the above. And I just, you know, to be back with everybody, to get to work with you and some of the other trades that I hadn't worked with, who were brilliant, to get to see the crew again, and just to get to realise Lindsay's just awesome vision, was such a thrill, such a thrill. And then to see her,
it was amazing. Out of her scheme, because I know you guys, you work together, and she, and I've said this to Lindsay in the interview with her, what I love about her is, and I remember saying this to you when we were there, she gets it. She doesn't sweat the little stuff. Like, there'll be certain things I'll go, I can do that, but that's going to take 4 hours, or I can do this and it'll save us a bit of time, and then I can concentrate on other things. And she was like that with you. She was like, Amy, I'm leaving you with that. Can you style that? And she trusted you to do it. How nice was that to have that kind of relationship with her?
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. It was total mutual respect, you know. Like, I had to keep saying to her, because she'd say things like "we" and "our" and refer to the scheme as ours, and it wasn't. It was hers. There's no doubt about it. But she saw it as a team effort, you know. And she was very good at trusting people with their skill and their expertise. So exactly with you, it was like, great, Wayne's got it. He knows what he's doing. I take his advice and his knowledge, and we'll run with it. And similarly with me, she knows that I'm, you know, I love to style. And she was just like, make it Instagrammable. And I was like, okay, I can do that. it was an absolute, it was such an easy relationship, and it was so mutually respectful that I think, well, that's why we'll work together again.
And sure. She said that she, like, obviously everyone knows now, you know, Lindsay, she's about to drop. She's going to drop. She'll have dropped when this has gone out.
Yeah.
The baby girl. And she's got the winning hotel. And she said she's going to partner with you and hopefully together in the future, you know. So, and the I remember the owners of the hotel are like, well, they get two for the price of one, you know, they get two contestants, which is amazing for them. But so your relationship, are you hoping to then move forward and do more together?
Yeah, absolutely. So, again, I'm going to support her with the prize, as it were, because, yeah, she, I mean, the deadline for that is crazy, and she has her own little deadline brewing, doesn't she? So yeah, I've said I'll support her with that and help her with whatever she needs. So we'll work together on that. And then, yeah, we're really excited. We haven't had a chance to actually get our heads together to do this brainstorm, but sometime in the new year, as soon as we're allowed, we're going to get our heads together. And you have not seen the last of Lindsay and Amy as a duo. We are definitely going to be working together, and we're super excited.
Cool. So you've rebranded as well. So I, you know, like you say, used to be This Style Rocks, and now you've set up amywilsominteriors.co.uk. And I had a little rummage through your website. And I love it. It's really, one of the things that I always think is really lovely is there's lots of images of you. So people buy into people, and it's you in your gorgeous house, but you just being gorgeous on a swing that I recognise from a certain offices.
Yeah. It felt good with my swing.
Damn it. So, you know, gorgeous picture on there. But also what I really like, there's an element where, about pricing. And in it, you say, look, I'm upfront and straight with you and your pricing structures on there. So explain to my listener how you, because I'm interested. I know a lot of my listeners are like interior designers, but also themselves or the homemakers. But so there's people you want, I want to convince to get interior design, but also there's people who are interior designers, but don't know how to market themselves. So I thought, as you're here, Miss Marketing Guru, why did you decide to do your whole marketing strategy on your pricing page? Explain that to my listener.
Well, I think what I was saying to you before about that 10 days of feeling down and feeling sad, and the only way I managed to lift myself out of it is I basically treated myself as I would one of my clients. So I was like, right, what I can either wallow in self-pity, or I can take what I have felt, which is this just sudden fire in my belly to take this forward into more of my business than my marketing. But I needed to do, in order to do that, I had to treat myself as I do my clients. So I wrote my name down on the middle of a piece of paper and This Style Rocks. And I started to brainstorm me like I would when I'm doing branding and marketing with a client. And that's what got me out of my little sort of depths of despair and made me feel excited again. And it quickly became apparent that I needed to just be me and my name, because I decided that I'm not looking to be some huge interior design empire. I'm looking to continue to fulfill my dream of creating joyful homes for people. And to do that, I want to be at front and centre of it. And so that's why I decided to shift it over to my name. You know, I mean, it's not that crazy an idea, I guess. But then I guess it's this is the Yorkshire bit coming through, isn't it, really? I wanted to be totally authentic and just honest with people. I found over the years, I mean, I've been freelance since I was 27, so I've always invoiced people for my work on a freelance basis, and I cringe every single time I send an invoice. I've never got any better at asking for payment. I mean, my husband despairs at me because, you know, I've actually missed out on payment in the past because I'm just a bit rubbish at it. And I thought the only way I'm going to get over this and the only way I'm going to break down these barriers of interior design as people see it is to just be dead up front with people and say, this is my day rate. This is what it's going to cost you. This is how much of my time you'll get. And then they know. And then they're not wasting their time. They're not wasting my time. And I also, for quite a lot of people, and I got a lot of DMs to this extent saying, oh my God, it's not as bad as I thought. Oh, I can afford you. Oh, all right then, I'll be in touch in the new year kind of thing. So I think it serves me well, really. And I would encourage anybody to do it. I say it to people all the time. What are you? How much do you cost? What do people get from you? You know, why they pick you over someone else? Just be honest, give them as much information as possible and before they make their decision, basically.
No, absolutely. And I see that as well when I do private carpentry. I'll go and I'll price a job and they're like, or some people won't come to me because they go, well, you're on the BBC, we can't afford you.
Yes.
You're like, yes. I've got a free week. You might be able to afford me that week. Do you know what I mean? And then you build something for them, or, you know, and then they'll go, oh, can you do the rest of the house now? You know, but I love that honesty on your, and like I say, a lot of people are scared of using interior designers. And I've said this before on the podcast, but as soon as you do and you find a good relationship with one, it elevates the space, but also it means that it's money well worth spent. And on your I love one of your little quotes you've put, like, working with me is a partnership, the kind where I'm happy to do all the work to help you realize the potential joy of your project. And it's that thing of we're working together, but actually I'm going to do it all.
I mean, and that's what you want to hear, right? You know, that's what you want to hear. And I will always, because it's my nature, go over and above what I charge for anyway. So I mean, if I'm saying I'll give you 2 hours, you'll probably get four, let's be honest, you know, and all the sleepless nights in between where I'm thinking about the scheme and going, oh, should I have gone for that or this or the other. But you know, I went straight from the show into doing a job, a paid job, and I used it as kind of, I guess, as my sort of testing ground, really. And I got a message on the 23rd of December from her saying, I am just blown away and beyond thrilled. We could not have done or realised any of this without your input, and I can't thank you enough. And for me, that's all I need to hear, you know? I just love it. And just seeing her face and seeing their home, you know, so they had a lovely home. They had a lovely home, but they just kept going. And then she said to me, I remember saying to me, you know, I just want it to look like a show home. And I looked around the house and I looked at her and I looked at her young family. I said, do you really want it to look like a show home? I said, and she went, no, I don't mean that, do I? I don't know. I just want it to work. And the point was, I just helped to make it work. And that's what I get so much joy doing.
Yeah, job satisfaction. And we're kind of going to be collaborating, and you've introduced me to this Design and Wellbeing Alliance. So talk about those clients, because I know you work with them, but also talk about the Wellbeing Alliance as well.
Of course, yeah. So I'm not going to leave marketing behind, because the thing is, I just love it. It's in my bones now, and I love pulling apart businesses and brands and helping them grow. But I think what I've realised is that I'm going to try and narrow it right down and just specialise in those industries and those businesses that are kind of interiors led or building led. And so it brought me to work with Back Properties, Philippa and Tom, who are just the most dynamic duo, husband and wife team, which I admire immediately, because I love my husband to bits, but I'm not sure we'll work together ever.
I love my wife as well, but no, yeah, we keep separate. We can't even sing together because I sing the wrong harmony, so we very rarely do anything like that together. But go on, sorry.
Yeah, so they're formidable, and they transform the student property market in Lancaster. She has three young children herself, very young, nowhere near university age, and she's an architect. And Philippa just said, I want to buy a student property, but I want to do it different. And Tom kind of went along with it. He was still working in his own practice at the time. And she did, and she made a beautiful student property, her belief being that if you create a beautiful environment for people, it will enhance their mental health and they will respond to it accordingly, and they will be more successful and more happy, and their well-being being improved will improve their results long term. So and they've I think they're 13, 14, 15 properties down the line now, and it's working, you know. And yes, they charge a little bit more, but they've never had a trashed house. All those things that people think would happen, you know, it's not true. If you give someone something beautiful, guess what? They treat it beautifully, you know? And so from that, they are now getting investors, and they're starting to look at doing much bigger developments, albeit still in the student market. And I started working with them on their marketing strategy. And I said, you know, you are the experts in this field, and I think you need to harness what is a real movement at the moment towards well-being and getting people to understand that if we invest in well-being, we're investing in the future, basically. And so together we formed this idea to create the Design for Wellbeing Alliance, headed up by who I believe to be Philippa and Tom, two of the experts in the field. And their thinking around this is to pull together a really diverse group of movers and shakers who represent the whole of the industry, so architects, trade, interiors, product design, but who all have a vested interest in the well-being of the people that live in spaces. And together they want to be able to change policy. They genuinely want to influence how we build spaces in the future. And I'm just like super excited about it. I'm thrilled that you want to be involved, because you were like, you know, up there on that top hit list for me. I said, we need a really diverse group of people. And you've had such a diverse experience with obviously the TV stuff, but you are trade at the end of the day, and you understand what it means to be on a site as a trade. And this is about well-being of the people that work in the industry as well as the people that serves. So that's why I'm thrilled you're part of it, and we can't wait to launch in the new year.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. Are you just doing marketing, or are you part of the design? Are you helping out in that side of it at all?
So I'm going to be hopefully working with Fat Properties on the interior side of things too. So I'm going to be wearing a couple of hats with them. I'm going to continue carrying forward with the marketing stuff for the DWA, the Design for Wellbeing Alliance. I'm helping kind of fuse some relationships. We've approached quite a few ambassadors, so I'm helping to sort of manage that. So I'm kind of wearing quite a few hats with Philippa and Tom, but that suits me. They're a wonderful couple, and I just love working with them. So, yeah, hopefully there'll be lots and lots of stuff coming up with them in the future.
Yeah, and by the time this goes out, hopefully I will have had them on the podcast already. So I'll refer in the show notes to an interview with them, because they're scheduled to come on, which will probably go out before this one will.
Brilliant. They've got loads to say, and you'll love having them on the show. You really will.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. So we're coming to the end. The end of our rainbow. But my final question is always to my interior designer guests. I want you to describe your dream space. So you could own it already, or it could be one that you haven't got. Money's no object anywhere in the world. So describe what it is, what's inside it, and what you're drinking whilst you're in this space.
I mean, the drinking bit's so easy. I listen to your podcast so much when I'm out running. And every time you come to this question, I change my mind on not what I'm drinking. I'm always drinking a gin and tonic, always. But I change my mind on what that space is. But the only thing that unites it always is that I'm in it with my four rocks, as I call them, my family. So there's me and there's them, and I've got a gin and tonic, and there'll definitely be a lot of music playing very loud, because we all love music. I bought my daughter a karaoke machine for Christmas, but it was kind of like a gift, self-gift thing, you know, and we just fight over the microphone. So there's lots of music, there's my family around, and to be perfectly honest, Wayne, I'm probably in my own home. I'm happiest when I'm in my own home. That is the place that makes me feel, I mean, obviously I'll take a glass box off a ski mountain any day of the week, but honestly I'm happiest in my own home, surrounded by my family.
All right, well, I'm going to add something into that then. So I've seen a lot of your Instagram posts, and there's always a table, and there's always you standing on it, giving it large karaoke. So we need a table in there, yeah?
Yeah, there'll be a large kitchen table for dancing. That's a given. There's always going to be some black in the room. I always have to have black in every interior scheme that I have. So there'll be I love my kitchen. I think essentially I'm in the kitchen, because I'm also very greedy. I'm driven by food. So my whole family, my dad's mum's Chinese and had a Chinese restaurant in Wimbledon. So I grew up eating her beautiful Chinese food. My other gran was from Yorkshire and just fed us on Yorkshire puddings. I'm a feeder and an eater, so I'm greedy. So I'd essentially have to be in a kitchen near food.
Okay, so as soon as lockdown's over, you're inviting me over. I want proper Yorkshire pudding. Get the karaoke machine on, and we'll bust some tunes. Deal?
Oh, do you know what? You have no idea how much I'd love that.
Amy, it's been an absolute pleasure. And how can people contact you? What's the best social medias to contact you on?
Amy Wilson Interiors or amywilsoninteriors.co.uk. I always answer.
Hey, she always answers. So, Amy, thank you for coming on the TV Carpenter podcast.
Thank you, Wayne.
So there we are. I'm going to hold her to that party that she's promised me with a karaoke machine in her house. Any excuse to have a drink and a catch-up with her when we're allowed to play at people's houses and have some fun again. Slowly happening, isn't it? Slowly coming out of lockdown. But that was the interview with Amy Wilson. She really is a talent, and I love her design and her style. If you get a chance to look on her Instagram, Amy Wilson, you will see her beautiful home. No wonder she never wants to leave there. I wouldn't. But yeah, I hope you enjoyed that. As always, I have to say thank you to my sponsor, Thorndown Paint. And remember, you can get 15% discount on any of their online purchases. Just go to thorndown.co.uk, go through the shopping cart, and at the end, put in the code TVCarpenter, and you'll receive 15% off. But all that's left for me to say is thank you for listening to me, Wayne Perry, on the TV Carpenter podcast. Mm-hmm.